You're listening to an SBS News podcast.
Fandi Ahmad is Singapore football's favourite son, a striker whose name rang out in stadiums through the 80s and 90s as he lit up the field with his goals, from barefoot kickabouts in his kampong and helping his family sell nasi lemak, to sharing the pitch with Diego Maradona and catching the eye of Johan Cruyff. His journey is the stuff of legend. Fandi Ahmad's career spanned three decades and made history as the first Singaporean to sign a professional contract in Europe.
First and foremost, thank you for the invite. I'm very happy to be here. I think the last few years, or maybe more than 10 years ago, I was here. I love Perth very much. It's Australia. A couple of times was in Sydney, Melbourne as well. And I think it's a huge country, and we love you. My family also, when they were when our boys are kids, they are very happy every time if we try to make an effort again to come to Australia.
Fandi, you are often referred to as the greatest footballer Singapore has ever produced. How do you reflect on your career, and what has football given you in life?
I'm not the greatest. I think what people say, I'm just happy to be a footballer, because as a young boy, my aspiration is to follow my father, my uncle footstep. They are all national footballers. So about 9 years old, I told my father, I just want to play football. So not thinking about any professional, we don't know about professional in those years, in the 70s, 60s, 70s. So my aim is to be a national player and one day to play professionally. Never happened to me before, because we don't know that those days. We just love to play football, and I followed my father, and he's a guardian, and he gave me a lot of advices and trainings. And in fact, we live in a quarters in the hospital quarters there, so where there's surrounded by all the village kampongs. We call it kampong in Singapore. I think you know this. So my father always gather all the kids, you know, to play football and train, running, everything. So he's our inspiration those days, because he was with the national team. And I mean, being in Australia now, I know that Australia is getting better every year in the football world. They are in the World Cup a couple of times. And we hope that Singapore one day is going to be tough, but be the same like Australia.
You became the first Singaporean to play in Europe, the first millionaire sports person from Singapore, and arguably you put the country on the sporting map. Yet people often say Singapore hasn't produced another Fandi Ahmad since. Why do you think that is?
Because at the moment, the last few years we have limited talent, you know. So, and I think many of the youngsters especially focus more on their study, education and all. And also, I believe so that in Singapore, especially the parents see that there's no guaranteed for them in football, except education, which give you future jobs and all. So, but in Singapore, especially we're losing a lot of the Chinese players, Indian players, except for the Malays who are willing to play until today. So this one, we can't fault anybody, but except I think the team or the national team, the government have to increase the standards and increase the financial aspect of the game, because in Singapore, the salary are not the best, except for one club for now. In previous years, average salary. So I believe their parents want a better life for their kids, not only playing football. If they're social, it's okay, but for a career, it's going to be tough. So that's why in our days, in the 70s, 80s, we have a lot of Chinese players, we have a lot of Indian players and Malays. But now, now I think they're starting to come back and then pushing a lot for the Indian players, the Chinese players, for the Malays is always there because they have the talent, they love the sports and you know, they love football but that better than study. So, but that's their life. Like me also, I love to play a lot and hopefully that, you know, after when I was a teenager starting to hear and watch the professional league, and you have that desire to do something for yourself. Yeah,
you've mentioned your dad and other family members as big influences in your love for the game. Your dad was the first to put the family name on the national stage. How much did he shape you, and has that influenced the way you've raised your four sons, who are all playing football now?
Yes, definitely, because he always he told me before, it's important to be humble. It's important that you must have this discipline, determination, dedication, and sacrifice to achieve your dream. And of course, you got to work very hard because it's not easy job to play football. You have to focus and you have to take care of your health. And it's a lot of things that regards to your development of going to become a better footballer. And importantly, you say, important is to respect people. Yeah.
You grew up living in the quarters. Your family wasn't well off and you were helping them sell nasi lemak while still finding time to kick a ball with your friends. How important was grassroots football? And I mean true grassroots football, being playing in the kampong, not today's fancy sporting academies. How has all of that experience shaped you as a person and then as a footballer?
Yeah, because I love the sport and I like to make friends. Football, there's always a big numbers of players playing. And living in a kampong area, that time we haven't got HDB, I think still in the kampong area and quarters of the hospital. My father used to work in the hospital. There are kids everywhere, boys, girls, they're playing games. But now you go down the block, there's nothing to play. You can't play any game, any sport, especially football, no cooking around the area. And even there's a green lots of space for green grass. Nobody is allowed. So I see the interest has gone, especially now in Singapore. It's too expensive, becoming too expensive, even though there's a lot of academy. In our days, it's free. Even school, when Saturday, Sunday is a holiday, we still go to school to play football. And all the races are there. Because now you have to play, even in futsal, you have to pay. It's very tough for the parent because now in Singapore, as we know, it's getting tougher, yeah? It's getting tougher for the people to spend a lot of money to pay to play football. So I see the difference now. I think, I hope that something has to be done, because if not, we will lose more talent, except if they start the naturalization or looking for heritage, like even Malaysia or Indonesia. So I just worried that I can feel and I can see things are not going so good now because we are being left behind.
How far off would you say is the current Singapore side from the glory days of the Malaysia Cup, the days when you were playing?
I think those years are all the peoples of that generation and our generation. We strive hard to serve and play for the country without thinking of any incentive, because we are from amateur to become professional, and we strive and we are so proud and pride. And every week the stadium is full packed. And even when we travel to Malaysia and play, that was the best time. Of course, our team also won a few cups of Tiger Cup. That was good. But after that, we lost a lot of passion from even the fans. You know, now it hardly get even 20,000 people. Yeah, so, but football has taught me a lot, and my father gave me a lot of advice and in terms of my growing up as a footballer. But it's important that important is you yourself, what you want to be, because I promised myself when I was young, when I get a chance to play in the national team, when I get in the first 11, I make sure that nobody take my place. So this is a will power that you have. You must have a strength, the energy to make sure that it happens. Yeah.
Back in 1982, you scored against Boca Juniors in a 2-1 loss. What was it like sharing the pitch with Diego Maradona?
I used to love Diego Maradona. Seriously, I love, because we used to tie the shoelace boots the same way they cross across the ankle, you know. And I think they won the youth under 19 in Japan, I think. So when we was, when myself and Pia Pong, we were invited to play for with the Selangor team and the legend, the late Mukhtar Dahari, we were very excited and we played. And so we stayed. There's a story, but after that, there's some issues. We stayed in the same hotel and then we share, and we saw the Argentinian players. Boca Juniors came down and having lunch and also dinner sometimes. So after that dinner, we all together, because we were excited to meet him and we wanted to take photo, but he just brushed us away. So we were shocked. We just wanted to take photo, that's all. And then from then onwards, in my mind, I said, if I become famous like him, I will never be like him, because after that, I didn't respect him. And true enough, he has a lot of problems after that. That's his problem, not my problem. But one thing for sure, that shows an example for me to be a better person and a better player.
Around that time, your name was huge in Asia. There were rumors Boca Juniors wanted you after that game. And Ajax even made you an offer. You could have worked with Johan Cruyff and played alongside Marco van Basten. Why did you turn that down?
Okay, I had a number of big offers for Boca Juniors, Ajax, Nottingham Forest, and a few others. So the Ajax was my best bet because I wanted to play. I was in the army when they offered me. Before that, I was 16 years old. A scout came from Holland, came down to Singapore and was looking for me because there's a reporter from Holland. He works for one of the magazine, and he sent, because when we in Singapore started the youth under 16, the first world youth something tournament, he cut all the paper cuttings, he took some videos, and he has a friend who is a scout for Ajax. So he sent to Holland. So for the 2 years I played. And then I didn't know. So one day I was training with the national team. I was about 16 plus there. Then these two guys, Hurst van Laddel and Jaap Reinders, they came down to the field and talked to my coach, Jita Singh, I think at that time, and said he wants to speak to me, and also said, and I saw him and I said, yes, are you interested to go for trial? We are interested. I thought he was just joking. I didn't know them. So, no, can't be true. No, yes. Today, if you don't trust us, after training, I give you my number and you call me and then you can come to our house, to the apartment. So I went after that with my friend. Then he showed all that. I didn't know they took all these pictures and photos and videos. Show them, this is, we've been following you for the last 2 years. We think you are talented enough to be there. I said, I can, but I have to serve my national service, so I have to wait. So after that, they said, okay, we'll wait for you. So I was in the army, and I played football. I was served the country, you know. And one of the game in the camp training, football, I was injured operation. So after a few years then, they came again, offer, and I was just 18 in the army. And they said, hey, the time is right for you to come back. I say, I still have another 6 months to go. I can't leave. God will, I was discharged from the army. Yeah, I was discharged because of some other reason, and also my injuries. I had operation, so they deemed that I'm not fit enough for shooting and all this. So I said, well, this is God's will. So thank God I had a chance. I left, and I was 2 months, about 2 months there. I trained very well, good. They all liked me. We played tournament in Germany, and then I did very well. So Cruyff was there, Van Basten was there, Rijkaard, all big name. Lerby, Solan Lerby. Yes, Paulsen after that. After 1 year, he left for Manchester. So when we played in Germany against Hannover 04 or something. So I managed to dribble the defender. I play always behind number 8, number 10. I beat defender, go in the box, and I got chopped. So after that, quickly, I was scared. I walk away. I let, because I'm a very young player, and I let the senior take. And Cruyff shouted, "Brownie, take the ball. Take the ball. Take the penalty. Take responsibility." I was shocked. I said, "Oh my God, I have to kick. I'm so scared." I said, "Please, then I shoot." Boom. Goal. "Yes, Brownie. Oh my God." Cruyff was very good to me. He's like an advisor, and he's my, you know, he always coached me and talked to me about football. So after 25 years, I met him again. But I had 2 years or 3 years contract after that. After I showed the first impression, when we at home in Ajax, the stadium, outside the stadium, we training ground, full crowd. When I played, then I received a long pass. I chested the ball. The ball went up. I do a bicycle kick. Boom. The ball went in, and everybody, then they called me again to the office. "Hey, we're going to sign you. You, after this, you go back, have a break, and you speak to your family before you sign." Okay. Cut short. Story short, came back Singapore, holiday, spoke to my family, everything. My cousin, my father, all okay for me to go. But why? A lot of people got it wrong. They say I'm homesick, or of course a little bit, but not serious. But it's a matter, my grandmother was old, and she said, "Please don't go too far to Holland, because if you go, you won't see me anymore." That's why we are very, you know, respectful for our parents, our grandparents. So that's why, and then came an offer. That's why they make me choose another offer from Indonesia. So that's why she said, "Please just go to Indonesia. You have your, you know, ancestors also from Indonesia." I said, I was in two minds, but my cousin said, "No, go there." Then I said, my grandmother said, "If you leave, you won't see me anymore." Yeah. So I was very sad. But true enough, when after a while she passed away, and after I played in Indonesia, I was so happy. I thought I got a chance to go back to Ajax. But in those years, European Union, EU, so only two or three players from you know, the work permit. So they said, "Fandi, you can go to Holland, but Ajax is full now." They managed to get Groningen to sign me. So they came down. Then I said, "Oh, this is," he said, "God will." I think, you know, what you work for, you only have pay dividend, even though even it's not in the best team that you want to go to, at least there's opportunity for me, because my dream is to become a footballer.
You visited Australia a few times. What are your favourite football memories of playing against Australia?
In Australia, we played one of the Malayan Cup in Singapore. We were leading 2-0, because that tournament, I was still playing for Groningen. I came back for the semi-final match, and as Australia was very strong, John Cosmina or something, yeah, I still remember, he scored the goal. So that was the final. But before that, when I was travelling, because we had a winter break, holiday, I came back to Singapore to play, because they called me back to play semi-final. Because after long flight, the next morning I arrived, and then I called the coach, "I'm going back home. Tomorrow I'll come to the hotel." I slept overnight. My knee locked. The next morning, I called coach, "I don't think I can play, but it's okay, I will see until lunchtime. I see what looks." After a while, I see, do massage, hot water, everything. I recover. As coach, "I will come, I try to play." And I scored a goal. Semi-final, we beat China. In those days, we can beat China. We drew, we beat also Korea, North Korea. So, and then we played Australia. Australia was, we were leading 2-0. I didn't score, I created a goal, but after that, they came back strong, 2-2, and then 4-2 we lost. Wow. But it was good experience, and especially I've seen Australian grow, you know, the strength and become better, and, you know, and many of the players also playing in Europe, and that's what is football about. They get the best chance to play the best places in Europe there.
You've coached Singaporean Premier League clubs, as well as teams in Indonesia and Malaysia. You've been interim coach and youth coach for Singapore, but you've never put your hand up or had the role as the full-time head coach. Why is that? And has that just because the timing hasn't been right?
I don't know. I was promised after 2019, after the Japanese coach Satsuma, I was supposed to take the job. And we had a call. Our technical director was Joseph Palasidis, and our general secretary was Yazin. They called me one day at the office, said, "Fandi, we need to talk to you about going to Hertha Berlin for attachment, because our ambassador there made a call. They want me to be there." And I said, "Yes, I would love it, because my dream one day to become a coach for the national team. I've been coaching a lot of the youth team many years, and also developed many players. But for this time, I said, I will go only after the COVID, because the call was called on 2019. So that time, COVID was getting, you know, bigger, and then we can't move. And I was worried if I go there, I get stuck. And so I didn't go, but I was hoping later part they will send me, but they didn't send me. Instead, I think they have a MOU with Japanese Japan FA, and then they signed continuously another two Japanese players. 22, I left on July or June, I can't remember. June, I left FAS. Actually, I wanted to move earlier. That's why I started to go back to Malaysia to coach. And yeah, previously was also in Indonesia when I was in Singapore as well.
A couple of Australian names have applied for the top job in Singapore. What do you know about Harry Kuehl? And would you back him for the job?
Harry Kuehl, yes, of course, he's a famous player and playing many years in Europe. But Kuehl is a big name. I think opportunity for him, I think, is a good opportunity for him to get. And he gets so much experience and exposure and to help the team.
Singapore has had three consecutive Japanese coaches in the last 6 years because of the MOU with Japan. Do you think it's time to look elsewhere? Maybe even consider an Australian coach?
I believe it's time to have a change, because we have tested three Japanese, and also I welcome any good coaches, even if it's Australian or English, or, you know, importantly that he can drive the players to the next level and the team. And, you know, it is important because when you sign a MOU, you stick to them even for a few years. You can't, even something is not right, you have to go through it. And I mean, it's good for a change. Yeah.
Did you put your hand up for the top job in Singapore this time around?
No, I didn't apply at all. Because since I'm in Singapore, if they say I have to apply, I didn't apply. I didn't know they opened up, because I never checked anything the last few years. I never checked about Singapore.
On that question, do you think there's a risk when legends like yourself take the top job, that if results don't come, your reputation could be tarnished?
I don't think so. But for me, it's because you have your own, I'm an individual that I always tell the truth, which they doesn't like the truth. So I'm no yes man. I just say it. I'm no yes man. If I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. But I think this is a problem with me. And it doesn't matter. I've served the country well. They know. I don't have to have people to help me or what, to take me out or what. But I think I just proven myself throughout the years. I'm a loyal Singaporean as a person, as a player, as a coach. But it's up to them to decide. Yes, I just disappointed that they didn't even ask me. But when they promised me to be the next coach after the Japanese, it didn't happen. So I just say my way is thank you, hi, bye.
So is coaching the national team still on your list of goals to achieve?
Now, it's going to go off soon because the interest has gone a lot because I see there's no, not for me. I just say openly, I don't mind. I don't care as well because I think it frustrated me if I talk about them. So for me, I don't think so. But I just like to be a mentor because I see a lot of young coaches coming in and you can see the results recently. So, but that's up to them because they know better.
On the domestic front, the Singapore Premier League has included satellite clubs before from Japan, China, Brunei, and even France. Do you think there's room for an Australian club in the future?
It's going to be tough because the league will be better, but because we need to win the hearts of the fans because we are a very small country. We have 8 or 9 teams now, and we have all the other clubs coming in, you know, like you say, all the countries. I think we used to have Perth Glory, Darwin, right? And yeah, 2 or 3 teams, and then we are from China, from Brunei. But I don't know, important thing is to help the country to grow more of the local players, which I don't know whether is a good sign or not. Because the last few years we've been missing a lot of talent, and now it's becoming worse because they allow 7 foreigners place, and we after the league technically have only 8 or 9 local teams, 8 I think, and one of the team also is under 23. So where do we develop all our players? Is it for the next 5 years, 10 years, 15 years? We've been saying many years, 20 years now, but we don't develop more players. And then we invite others to come to make the league. I believe to help the national team to be stronger, we must have a strong league and we must find a best players to play in the Malaysian League because, Malaysian League is our neighbour and we are part of them. So that's the best league to improve further and faster because we in our own league. You know, sometimes you have played 3 times, 4 times in the same team. I don't think it's right. I don't think that it can help us.
Both Australia and Singapore football face similar challenges in keeping their top leagues alive. Crowd numbers, revenue, and keeping the league sustainable. In Australia, there's now a second-tier competition starting up, but the big issue is cost. Do you see a financial opportunity for Australian clubs to play in the Singapore Premier League in the near future?
Yes, I know. Yeah. It was used to be during the Darwin and Perth Glory, but I don't know who about the fares and costs. It's very tough, even for the Singapore team traveling also. And I think it's all the same in Malaysia also. We are struggling also when we were there, we're playing. And when I coach there, we can see that my team and a lot of Malaysian teams as well, when they travel, but they must be away. They must look at the schedule and the system. They need to follow a bit of NBA, I think, because let's say when you travel to Sydney, if there's 3 teams or 2 teams, you must play at least 2 games for 1 week. At least you don't have to go and come back. So the shuttle is too costly. I feel the Malaysian League the same. In Singapore, we don't travel much. And only for those who are foreign team like Brunei, I think they got a lot of money. That's okay. They travel up and down. And I believe they help financially to for the local Singapore team to travel there, I think so. So, which is also helpful, but for Australian team to Singapore, it'll be very tough. And Singapore to come here as well, because it's very, very costly. We have to find a way. But for the Australian League, I understand that it's a huge country, you travel, but if they can follow a bit of NBA, because when they travel to Sydney, two teams or three teams, you must play at least two. If you don't go play one game and then they come back and then you have to go another week. So I think this is just my opinion because I watch how this NBA, of course, they got loads of money, but they play two. Sometimes they play back to back, not for football, of course, but after 1 week, maybe they can play two games or maybe if 10 days they can play three games. I don't know, but to save and help the teams, all the clubs as well.
And on the flip side, would you like to see Australian leagues, both in the men's and the women's competition, recruit more Singaporean players, especially off the back of the recent success of the now 10 to Brisbane Roar?
Yes, I'm sure there's a lot of new talent, and I think the Singapore side also we have to push because the women game is getting better and better. We're producing some good players. There's one other player who went scholarship in, I think in Europe or in America, I can't remember, but Danielle also is a good, good physically, and she's focused. I'm sure Australians have much more women, good player, women players.
Fandi Ahmad, thanks so much for your time on SBS News.
Okay, thank you.